You know, I was thinking about what we went to the Philippines for, why we went, what we did when we were there. And by the way, we did face some very unusual spirits that I have never, ever seen or dealt with before. And I'm just thinking about that. I think we spent the whole week trying to reset our clocks back to Eastern time again. It's 12 hours. It's a 12-hour. I never had to change my watch. It's just the same, except for AM and PM. But as I'm just thinking on all this, this little phrase kept coming to me, and there was war in heaven. And I looked it up. I want to share that with you. It's in Revelation. You know, you knew it was in Revelation chapter 12. It's just one of the more prominent words that we have. You know, Janet and I, before we ever met DeSeal, Campbell, anybody, right soon after we were married, way back in about 1981, the Lord gave us a verse out of Revelation 12. And that verse is, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." And now that we've really tasted of this end time word, it's still the appropriate word. I mean, if there was ever a word that I would say is my motto that I would have to pick out, I would say, "And they overcame." Amen. By the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Now, before they overcame, this is in Revelation chapter 12, before they overcame, this is a description of war. And I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to preach about the woman, the man-child, anything of that. That's not the topic today. Amen. You've heard that before. I'd love to talk about it. But I just felt the Lord was saying, "And there was war in heaven." And I believe we're at that place. I think this is what Madeline was saying. Rita, some of you that were sharing, what are we going through? Why the oppression? Amen. Why the distress? Why the thing that Larry was praying about, the unity? Why the disunity in the body? What is happening? What is going on? Why is there strife between sister and sister? You know, why is there strife between brother and brother? What is the source? Where is it all coming from? Amen. So I want to read these two verses. Chapter 12, verse 7. Okay. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." You see, the devil has his angels too, doesn't he? Amen. These are fallen angels. Amen. I'm not talking about just little minor little demons, little devils of thievery and alcohol and lust and drug abuse. Those are little minor demons. I'm talking about big time fallen angels, big powerful principality type things, fighting with the dragon, fighting with devil. Devil's name is dragon. Okay. When it says dragon, when it says great serpent, we're talking about the devil. We're talking about the chief of these fallen angels, Satan himself, all right? And it says, "And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not." Amen. That means he's not going to win. He fought, Michael and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Hallelujah. Neither was there found any place anymore in heaven. Now, you see this whole scene, and I will have to go back to read the first verse to show you. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 crowns, and she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. This is a picture in heaven. Now you say, Brother Mark, have you gone loco? This is heaven? I'm reading it, brethren. And it's obviously, this description of heaven is not the picture of heaven that you had when you were 7 years old. And they told you someday you're going to die, you're going to go to heaven, you'll walk on the street of gold, and, you know, and you'll be playing harps, and, you know, angels. No, this is not that picture. There are different realms of heaven, brethren. All right, let me read the next verse here in verse 9, and then we'll go back to this. It says, and the great dragon. Who are we talking about again? We're talking about the devil. We're talking about Satan. Amen? That great dragon was cast out. Out of what? Out of heaven. Amen? That old serpent called the devil and Satan. Lest there be any question about who we're talking about here. That old serpent and Satan. Amen? He was in the garden, wasn't he? He was that old serpent in the garden, giving Eve that lie. Amen? Telling Eve that the tree was to make her wise. And by the way, that's a very unusual word of wise. It's not the same word wise as in the days of Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar called the wise men. It's not the same thing. Amen? It is genuinely, truly wise. Amen? As in understanding the things of God. All right? But anyway, he was in the garden. He's cast out, it says, that which deceiveth the whole world. Now listen to this. Which deceiveth the whole world. He's not just deceiving New York. He's not just deceiving Schenectady. He's doing a good job, but that, you know, he's not limited to this. He's doing it everywhere.
Even in the church.
Yes, especially in the church. Amen? There's a heaven realm there too, isn't there? All right? Deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, let's talk a little bit about heaven, earth, and where this devil was, where he was cast out, okay? Now, there's a heaven, the throne of God. I'm not very good at drawing three-dimensional thrones, but the power of God in that throne, okay? I'm not even going to try to draw God, amen? Just the glory of God in the throne of God. Now, there was a time, and I'll take you to a few verses and show you, there was a time when Satan was in that realm, okay? Let me take you to Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to go right from the words of Jesus, all right? Luke chapter 10. We'll go to verses 17 and 18. Now, this is when he had sent the 70 out. You remember, he sent the 12 out, and he gave them power over serpents and scorpions and devils and all kinds of things. Gave them authority over them. Now, another time, here it is in Luke, he sent the 70 out. Okay, so he had other elders besides just those 12 apostles that were ministering as well. And he had his seal of approval on these 70 elders as well. All right? It says, and the 70 returned again with joy. By the way, there's no list of who these 70 are. Who were they? I have no idea who they were. They had to be among the 120 that were gathered together. Right? Now, if some of these 70 were gathered with their wives, that makes 140. Do the math a little bit. Yeah, 7, 7 is, 140. Yeah, all right? So, It says the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, and that means demons, amen, are subject unto us through thy name. Demons are subject to us through what name?
Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because the name has the power. Not just my ability to pronounce it. Amen. You could probably get a parrot. Name of Jesus, you know. But the parrot wouldn't have any power. Do you understand what I'm saying? You teach parrots to say anything. But it isn't going to give that parrot any power or any authority. And likewise, there are people who can make like parrots and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name... And it doesn't mean the devil isn't going to recognize that they have any power. Do you understand what I'm saying? I tell you, sometimes we run up against demons that it seems like we don't have the power. And I'm saying we need more power. We need more authority in the name of Jesus Christ. How do we get in the name of Jesus Christ? You see, the name of Jesus isn't just repeating a thing or reading a thing. In the name means what?
Nature.
The name is the nature. So if I am in the nature of Jesus Christ, amen, that is what the devil will recognize. He isn't going to recognize me just making words. I can make a recording in the name of Jesus, you know, whatever. That isn't going to impress the devil. But coming in the nature of Jesus, in the character of Jesus Christ, coming under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What does that mean, coming under the blood? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, did they not? That means the blood is what? It speaks of what? Forgiveness. Amen. Overshadowing. Protection. So everything we can say about the blood, the atonement of the blood, if we are under the blood, which means we are not walking in sin, we are not knowingly walking in sin. There is not a sinful, when you have another agenda. Yeah, we don't have a sinful agenda. Amen? Ulterior motive, that's what I'm looking for. We don't have sin as our ulterior motive for what we're doing good. You can do good and have a bad motive for doing it. And the devil recognizes that. He can see right through you. Amen? You know, we have a disadvantage in this warfare in as much as we cannot, with these flesh eyes, we cannot see spirit. And he has the advantage of, you know, I said this to the Lord one time. I said, Lord, I'm at a disadvantage. Devil runs around, whispers here, whispers there, goes here, goes there. I can't tell what he's doing. I can't see where he's at. I cannot fight this thing unless you can give me some spiritual discernment so that I know what's going on. All right? It says there was war in heaven. All right, now, Jesus goes on, the 70 said, they are subject to us. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What's that mean? What is Jesus, first of all, he's saying that I am before the Garden of Eden. I am before the manger scene. I am before Mary. I am.
Amen.
I was there. I saw it all. I saw him fall like what? How fast does lightning go? The scientists are trying to discover how fast it goes. Do you see that little article in the National Geographic? This guy's got this $1 million camera that takes, what, 1.7 million pictures per second or something. He's trying to find the exact moment when it begins and photograph, and he hasn't been able to do it yet. Lightning's pretty fast, isn't it? And that's just as fast as Satan was thrown out of heaven. Now, I put this throne here, all right, because Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. Power, that word power means authority. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, amen, of the enemy. And by the way, that power of the enemy is not the same word. It means all the might, all the force, all the things that he can stir up and do, amen. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. So, this is the words of Jesus, and here we have a bolt of lightning, and Satan fell. Okay? And so where did Satan end up when he fell? He ended up in the realm where we live. Okay? Now there's a second realm of heaven, and I'm going to draw a picture of a globe here, which isn't going to be a very good picture. And I don't know how to make countries. We'll just make a jagged piece of country here. We'll make another one over here. And there's a certain atmosphere here, a certain heaven atmosphere. Without knowing what other word to use, I'll call it an atmosphere heaven, a spirit realm. How about that? That's a better word? There's a spirit realm in this earth.
Dimension,
a spirit dimension. There we go. So this is the highest level. All right. We have another level here. And by the way, you know, I could probably make a case that each of these realms has three different dimensions. I think I could make a case for that. Okay? I could make a case for this one at least. And I think if you can make a case for this one, it applies to the others as well. Okay? So, here we have an earth, and what I should really do is this earth is not all the time in daylight. I'm talking natural daylight, right? So, here we'll see the earth as it's divided, and this side of the earth here is in darkness, and the sun would be over here shining, and the earth turns on its axis. Actually, it's tipped a little bit, but so there's a heaven realm around this earth, okay? And Satan has a certain amount of liberty to move around this earth wherever he pleases. Am I right? Let me just share with you a vision that Brother Bird had one time. Did you hear him share it yourself on one of the recordings? It was a very significant vision that he had when he was in Sierra Leone. We were staying in the house of Geraldine and Vivian, her husband Vivian, okay? Nice house. And we were upstairs, I think Bert was kind of upstairs, and he went down, he doesn't know whether he went by the spirit or whether he went in the natural, probably went in the spirit, down the stairs, and there was a table down there in a dining room. And he said he saw around the table the devil and some of his key players, some of his fallen angels were with him around this table. Now, if you heard this before, stop me, and I won't bore you by telling you again. You haven't heard this, all right? So you probably I know he shared it publicly, and it's probably on one of these conference things. But I want to share with you the second realm of heaven. All right, we know that Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall from heaven." All right. But in Revelation chapter 12, we see that there is still heaven, all right? And that there is war in heaven, and Satan is going to be cast out of this realm of heaven as well, okay? So here's the story. Satan and his cohorts were gathered around the table, and he said they had files or folders that were laid on the table. And he said, in particular, those who have an understanding of this end time, death to self, kingdom word, their names were on these folders. And that the enemy was making strategy planning. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows all this about you. It's all in these spiritual folders that they keep. And there was a certain couriers that were at this meeting. And this was in the dark. This was in the night season in Sierra Leone. All right? A very dark place in Africa, a place, you know, he has thrones. Satan has different thrones in some of these dark places. And what was being planned was the strategy for the next day, for the coming of daylight to your day. You, the saints of God. He was planning mischief. They were planning strategies of what they were going to do to try to disrupt your day, to try to throw you off balance, to try to get you into the flesh, to try to get you to... And there were certain couriers that live only in the night. They follow the earth around as the earth turns. They go during the night season. And when it is night, they are probably going around sowing certain, trying to create certain circumstances, whatever they have the power to do. I don't know how much power they have, but sowing among the minor devils that just have to stay with you, trying to speak to whatever is in your soul of darkness, trying to get your family to stir you up some way or some, you know, some circumstance, amen, to get you to react. And he said when they finished the session, things were put into some kind of little bag, and these couriers were off to do their business. He saw this in the spirit. And so what caused the brother to say is, brethren, when we wake up, we should immediately rebuke any plots or plans or schemes that the enemy has for us. And we can throw his scheme off because we have the power. Jesus said, I give you authority, amen, over these things. But you see, we are handicapped in as much as our natural eyes, we can't see these things. We have to go by the Word of God that He has given us, that this is what's going on. Some of us that are more gifted have a greater sensitivity to these things. And some of us have vision of these things, but we don't all have it. And this is one of the reasons we need the whole body of Christ, because we need those who have the vision, the insight into these things, to speak to us who can't see as well. I'm one of the can't see as well. You know, hit me on the head, I'm pretty thick, you know. But I want to hear what God is saying, nevertheless. Now, I'm not suggesting that God can't get through to me. He can get through to me. When He wants to, He can get through to me. But He's not as liberal about it as He is with some other people that I know. All right? So, there's a realm of heaven, all right? And I believe it is this realm that Revelation chapter 12 is talking about. All right, let me read it again. Start out in verse 1. It says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman. All right, a woman means a church. The church is going through warfare, brethren. And the woman has, there's a woman church. Actually, there's three churches here. There's the woman church. There's the moon church under her feet. Moon is the lesser light, right? This woman has the glory of God. I mean, she's the sun in her garment. I mean, she's She's not old order religion. That's under her feet. But she's got a more powerful church within her. She's got a man-child church in her. Now, brethren, this is not a picture of Jesus and Mary. This is not what it is. Revelation, John said very clearly. He said it in the first chapter. He said it again in the fourth chapter. He says, I was in the Spirit. He's not talking about natural things. And in the fourth chapter, the angel of the Lord said, I will show you things which must shortly come to pass. So he is clearly seeing the future. He is not seeing the past. Okay? So that brings us then to repeating again, and there was war in heaven. Verse 7. Michael and his angels. Amen? Now, Daniel spoke very clearly. I'm going to get to these other verses. I don't know how fast we're going to be able to go, but I want you to clearly understand. I want you to understand the things that are happening in your life, the things that are distressing you. Satan is behind it. Amen? Satan is behind it. Amen? He ruined it. Listen, he ruined everything. He ruined the Garden of Eden. He destroyed it. It was perfect. Everything was perfect that God made. And how did he ruin it? He didn't have to go through with matches and start burning everything. All he had to do was deceive somebody. All he had to do was get somebody compromised, get somebody into sin, get somebody to do something, get somebody to say something that they shouldn't have said, shouldn't have done, amen, contrary to the will of God, and immediately it brought ruination. Amen. So, God could not allow man to live in that circumstance any longer because Satan had done his ruination. You know, don't throw rotten tomatoes or anything at me, but I'm going to say something that's funny. I'm not going to say that I believe it. I'm just going to say I wonder. I wonder what happened in chapter 1, verse 1, and the earth was without form and void. I wonder what happened. Would God have started off making something without form and void? I wonder if Satan landed there before the Garden of Eden and managed to destroy that. Just wondering. Don't know. There are some people say they can make a case for that. I'm not saying, thus saith the Lord, believe it, you know, if you want. But the very nature of Satan. What did Jesus say? The thief cometh. Well, it's in John 10. Let's read it. John 10:10. I think it is. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Yeah.
Now, when you see that going on, when you see thievery, murder, destruction, who's behind it? Satan. Satan is behind it. Amen? But, now I got to read the contrast. I am come, this is Jesus, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen? Now, again, just because I can read that verse and we'll name our church More Abundant Life Fellowship doesn't mean that we've automatically got it. We have to walk in it. Amen? And by the way, it would be a good name. Nothing against it. But naming names is not sufficient to make it happen.
Amen.
All right? So, the nature. Now, let's go to where he actually fell from the throne of God heaven. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Isaiah 14. Isaiah comes before Jeremiah, and 14 comes before 20. Here we are. Isaiah 14. Now, There's two descriptions in the Old Testament, one in Isaiah and one in Ezekiel. Two descriptions of what happened to Satan in his fall. Okay? Jesus said with his own words, "I saw it happen." And I believe it happened just that fast. God allowed that rebellion to go on probably just long enough that the angels could have a test. Do you know that it seems in God everything has to be tested? Do you know that? You say, well, the angels are locked in, they're robots. Apparently not. Apparently they had an opportunity one time to make a choice. Yeah. One third of them made a choice for Satan. And when this thing came to its fullness, God said, "That's it. Out." And they all went out. I mean, I tell you, when you see this, the awesome power of God, how can we have any doubt about what God can do? I mean, he threw the devil and a third of the fallen angels out, just snap of the finger, just like that. You know, the struggle between good and bad, God and the devil. You know, some people would have, you know, that God is 6'2", the devil is 6'1", and God weighs 210, the devil weighs 205. Is he going to win? You know, no, it's nowhere near like that. It's nothing like that. God has got it. All right. In the 14th chapter, let me just pick a couple of verses, and if you want to hear more, we can do more. Let's start at verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven?" See, here it is. Here's that word heaven again. Heaven, literally, the word heaven has two meanings. One, it is a natural, you know, the birds fly in the heavens. Okay, airplanes fly in the heavens. That's one of the meanings of heaven. But for the most part, what we're concerned with is heaven means a spiritual place. And, you know, we have another realm of heaven. I'll get to that later. We have a realm of heaven here. My soul. My spiritual soul is a realm of heaven. Okay? But it's a pretty carnal realm of heaven for the most part. It's kind of an earthy realm of heaven. It's not as high as I'd like it to be. Okay? All right, so, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" By the way, you can cross that word Lucifer out. It's a wrong word. It should, in the Hebrew, the word is Heliel. Heliel. Now, you have, I don't know how many archangels there are. Okay? I know that one of them went out. I know that at least two of them didn't go out. So we have only the names of three of them. We have Michael, Gabriel, and Heliel. And the suffix "el" means what? God. So Michael means what? Means like God, doesn't it? Michael is like God. Gabriel, messenger of God. Heliel, we don't know exactly, but we believe that he was in charge of praise and music and worship and this type of thing. Is it any wonder, when you listen to what the world is listening to today, and can I add, what the church is listening to today, that it has been corrupted? I mean, this is his specialty. This is the devil's gifted specialty, is music. And he's got people to believing that some of the things that they're doing is praising to God. But my goodness, you see, you go to Revelation, you see the scene, the crystal around the throne, crystal glass around the throne of God. You see the 24 elders casting their crown. You hear the praise and glory and honor and power be unto thee, O Lord. And you say, how can some of this stuff that the church is saying is, how would that stuff would never fly before that throne? It would never go. I mean, it would be a stench.
Christian rap music.
Christian rap, Christian rock, Christian whatever. Come on, let's just get the purity of praise that comes from the heart of thanksgiving and adoration before God. Let us go back to purity. Amen? Not this stuff that's polluted and corrupted with the world's methods and the world's beat and the world's everything else. Ga-boom, ga-boom, ga-boom. Come on, that's not what was going on before the throne of God that John saw. There was no beat going on. Amen? All right, so, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Heliel, son of the morning? Son of the morning. You see, he was bright. He had a brightness about him. Amen? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? You see what he's done? For thou hast said in thy heart. You see, he had a heart too, didn't he? He had something in him that he could make a decision. Thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. You see, I said I could make a case that there was an even higher heaven. He wanted a higher realm. He wanted, see, the highest realm of all is the very throne of God. I think Paul described it as the unapproachable light. Satan wanted that highest realm. And he wasn't quite in the highest. He was among the archangels, and there might have been a lower realm of other angels. Okay? But he wanted the highest. He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. What does this mean, the stars of God? The others. The other angels, and now it includes us human beings, the stars of God, the sons of God. Amen? He wanted to be the God of all. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Where would that be? He wanted to be the head of the church, the congregation. He wanted to be the head of the church. And by the way, in some cases, he probably is. All right. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He's going down to the abyss. Okay? Now, let's see the same picture in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. And we come to... I don't know where to start here. 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. He was in Eden. Okay? He talks about the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was repaired in thee in the day that thou wast created. This speaks of his music, his praise, the pipes, the sound of the music. 14, thou art the anointed cherub, amen, that covereth, and I have made thee so. Thou wast on the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. See, he was created. Till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. What he wants to do still is overshadow and cover over. He wants to cover the saints of God over. I don't want that for my overshadowing. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. You know, Satan appears as what? Angel of light. You know, if Satan wanted to fool you, he wouldn't come at you with red pajamas and a forked tail and a pitchfork in one hand. No, he would not. He would come to you with brightness. He would give you words to make you believe that he was sent from God.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do everything. He would come in beauty, something very attractive to you. I mean, isn't this the way he presented the whole scene to Eve? This tree will make you wise. God's holding something out on you. You're missing something. You know, you should really partake of this. You don't know the difference between good and evil? Come on, really. Where have you been? All right. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold you. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. You remember we talked about that, the meaning of that sanctuaries. It means God put up places of refuge for him. He put up stop signs. And he went in the haste of his iniquity, he blew right through the stop signs. God tried to stop him. God tried to warn him of what was happening. How many of you have ever been warned of God? Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Don't even touch it.
Yeah.
You ever had a word from that Lord like that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's God. See, this is the nature of God. The Spirit of God, if you start going the wrong way, he'll put up a stop sign. I one time asked the Lord if I was going the right way, and he brought to me that verse that said, there will be a voice behind thee, how does it go? Saying, this is the way if you turn to the right or to the left. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit putting up stop signs for you. No, no. Don't turn that way. Don't even think about it. All right? You know, by the way, it's good to know. It's good to know. It's good to, you know, I think it's good to hear God say no. Because that means he still cares for me. He isn't going to just let me go wild, go crazy. He's going to stop me. He's going to say no. And it's a comfort. You know, isn't this what David meant when he said, thy rod and thy staff is a comfort unto me? Yeah, what do shepherds use rods and staffs for? To stop sheep from going this way? To grab them and turn them and make them go another way? To pull them out of places they shouldn't be? That's what shepherds use his rod and staff for. They don't use rod and staff to beat them. That's not what it's all about. The rod and the staff is to guide them. Amen? And so, okay, but he blew right through. He says, therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. One more verse. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror. Now that word terror means it means a horror. Not that he's going to be a terrorist. It shall be a horror, and never shall thou be any more. That means he's coming to an end.
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm talking about war, okay? Now, let's go to the other realm of warfare. This realm, this happened a long time ago. At least 6,000 years ago. this is Revelation chapter 12. There's something going on in our environment. Satan is being cast down to earth. Now, there's another realm of heaven that I think this also applies to. And here I am, Joe Stickman. I have to make him a little solid body here. All right. Boy, that's a pretty poor. In this man. No, I said that wrong. This man is a living soul. Isn't that what it says in Genesis? God breathed in him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So I am a living soul. This is the real me, the living soul. Amen. I have a body. I have a spirit. Okay? So, if I ask you again, we'll go through the same little question that we would ask a 12-year-old that's accepted Jesus. And I ask my little granddaughter or my grandson, where is Jesus? And what do they tell you? They say, he's inside of me. They know that Jesus is in me. Now, the next question is Jesus in heaven? Yes, he's in heaven. That means that there's also a realm of heaven in me. Amen? In other words, I don't have to wait till I die to have heaven. I can walk in heaven now. And what did Paul mean when he said that we are seated together, where? In heavenly places, in where? In Christ Jesus. So we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And let's take another verse from Paul in 2 Corinthians 10. And if you know where you're going, you can get there ahead of me. 2 Corinthians 10. And I think we're going to look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, my poor drawing here was mostly flesh. That's supposed to be flesh, that stick man thing. Though we walk in flesh, my natural man is walking in flesh. You see me walking here? What do you see? Do you see my soul? No. I don't think you see my soul. But you can see some of my flesh. Most of my flesh is covered with clothes, but yeah. You know that this is my flesh. Flesh man. Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, my orientation to life should not be, is not, I'll go to the is not, my orientation is not after flesh. I walk in it. I have to take care of this thing called flesh. I have to drink. I have to eat. I have to do the things that result from eating and drinking. My body needs certain care. My hair would get pretty wild if I didn't do something about it once in a while. You know, my flesh needs to be taken care of. But I don't live for that. You see, this is the difference now. People of the world, people of God. Now, this is the difference in a message also. There is a gospel, another gospel, that says, flesh, flesh, flesh. You can have it all. You can be rich. You can drive the Mercedes. I mean, I think Volkswagens drive just as good as Mercedes, but so what? Amen. You can have this. You can have luxury. You can live in a big, big mansion. You can live an opulent lifestyle. Live like me. You can have your own jet. You can have your own everything. You know. What is that message? The message is contrary to what Paul just said right here. Well, that's our spiritual warfare. No, it's our whole orientation to life. Is your orientation to the kingdom of God? See, this is why I say we're preaching the kingdom of God. We are not preaching the kingdom of thingdom, collecting things. Whether I've collected a few things over my life or not, that's not my goal. That's not my orientation. Yes, I've collected some tools because it was cheaper to buy the tool than it was to pay the guy to do the job. So I learned how to do it. But I'm not. Oh, that's not my orientation. It's not my goal to whoever can collect the most toys as the winner at the end. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, the Word of God says there was war in heaven. How many of you believe that applies to our generation? How many of you believe there was war going on in Jesus' generation? How many of you believe there was war going on before Jesus' generation? What was that whole scene in the Garden of Eden if it wasn't war? Satan had declared war on God's creation. And he's been cast out of heaven. And a brother I know one time said to the Lord, if only I were given an opportunity to talk to one of these fallen angels, maybe I could get them to repent. And God allowed him, according to his testimony now, to meet a fallen angel. And he says, well, God will do whatever I ask. If I ask for you to be restored, you'll be restored. And this horrible creature issued from his mouth the most horrible curses he had ever heard in his life. Vile. Evil. And he said, if I were to go back, I would go back for only one purpose, and that would be to destroy everything that's there. Now, you understand his purpose here is to destroy everything here. But he's under certain limitations. There's a boundary that he can only come so far. And he's bound. He cannot go further than that. Amen? So,
amen.
There's a limitation to what he can do. Now, I got thinking, well, what can he do? What can Satan do? What power does he have? Does he have any power in nature, for instance? Can he have anything to do with creating storms or stirring them up? It seems like he can.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how. I don't understand how a spirit can have something to do with. But, I mean, I'm thinking and I'm saying, well, Jesus rebuked the storm. Would Jesus rebuke the Father if God had done it? He must have been rebuking something that Satan had done. You see, I'm not sure how much ability he has in natural things. I say it's mostly spiritual things that he has, that his realm of authority is.
There's only one creator. You know, Jesus Christ created everything.
Yes.
Satan doesn't have the ability to create things.
He can't create, and this is one of the reasons. See, he cannot create life in any manner, but he can recruit. He can recruit for his side. He can get people to go on his side by lying, deceit, thievery, you know, his whole character, he recruits human beings to work with him.
Yes.
And in, you know, if we don't see what's happening in the destruction in this realm right here, this very hour, not necessarily this very, you know, but this very time in which we live, you can see the stage being set, the world stage being set. And you know where it's going to come out? It's going to come out destruction if it's allowed to go on. The economy, the environment, I don't care what these environmentalists say. That's not their real agenda. Their agenda is control. Their agenda, along with Satan, is to control everything that a human being does. Everything that he thinks, everything that he says, they want it all under their control. And the politics, it doesn't matter. It seems that it doesn't matter which side goes. It seems they go the same way. You get a guy in that I think is going to be a great guy, he ends up being a big disappointment to me.
Power corrupts.
Yes, Satan is corrupting them all. His plan is to destroy. Now, God has put the leash on him. He had atomic bombs at his disposal. There's none other than God has put the control on him. No, this dictator can't do it. God says no, the answer is no. You're not going to use it. Alright, for we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What does carnal mean? That means I'm not going to beat you by or by giving you a tongue lashing. Boy, I really gave it to her. I really sucked it to her. Boy, I told her a thing or two. No, you know I'm just joking, don't you?
It's okay.
Yeah, just using it as an example. No, I'm not going to win anything that way. You know, the mouth is carnal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The things we do with the mouth is a weapon.
But God says guard your mouth.
That's right. Kurt, James says, out of the same fountain we issue blessings and cursings. How can this be? If this is coming out of the one fountain, it is not a pure fountain. It is a polluted fountain. God, there's something polluted in my heart if both of these things are coming out of my mouth. In other words, I cannot fight with carnal weapons. Now, Peter did not understand this, did he? I don't think any of the disciples, but we'll pick on Peter for a minute. At the arrest at the Garden of Gethsemane, where, as Sister shared already, the battle was won. Jesus won the battle in what realm? In the spiritual realm, by submitting his soul. Soul, yes, his soul. The will, nevertheless not my will. When we can win the battle of the soul, I'm talking about a heaven realm here. The heaven realm, if we can get that soul under the submission of the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, we have won the battle. Now, when Peter saw the men coming, the flesh of men coming to arrest his Lord and Savior, he thought, well, I'm going to stop this thing. Gets his sword out. It wasn't much of a sword. I don't think it was a big old machete-sized sword.
Nice.
It might have been, I don't know. But whatever he had, he whacked it after the guard, took his ear off. Jesus told him, put it away. I have spiritual weapons at my disposal, Peter. that you don't see. I can call 10,000. They didn't get it, did they? They didn't understand the kingdom of God. They didn't understand that the kingdom of God is spiritual, not carnal. How much does the church understand? You know, if you want to stop abortions, you're not going to stop them by taking signs and going up and down the street around the Planned Parenthood clinic. You're not going to win. That's not going to stop the sin. What is the problem? The problem is the sin that's gotten into the lives of the people that are going there for their service. You're not going to win that by putting signs up and walking up and down the street.
Right.
Carnal weapons. All right, so pulling down strongholds. Mighty through God. Pulling down strongholds. What is a stronghold? What is a stronghold in my soul? Or maybe you can tell me, what is a stronghold in your soul? You don't want to hear about mine, probably. What is the stronghold? What has a hold on you? You know, there were men that came to Jesus by night, and they wanted salvation. And what was it that he told this one fellow? He asked him whether he'd been keeping... Oh, he'd been keeping all the law. He was a good guy. And then he began to tell him that he needed to get rid of all his wealth and give it to the poor. And the man couldn't do it. What was the problem? There was a strong hold on this man. Now, I don't mean to make a thing of picking on rich people. Poor people have got strongholds just as strong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you name some of them?
Lust.
Lust, sure.
Pride.
Oh my goodness, pride. Bigger than lust even, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Bigger than lust, yes. Is this why Jesus said that a harlot, a drunkard, a publican is going to get into the kingdom of God before a Pharisee? What would keep the Pharisee out? His stronghold is his religious pride.
Oh, yes.
The drunkard, the harlot, the prostitute, you know, whatever. There's no argument. Yes, I'm a filthy drunk. Here I am laying in the street, you know. How can I argue against you? You find me laying here with a bottle and a brown bag next to me. I'm a drunk. You know? No pride. I mean, a harlot is a harlot. You know? What do you do? What have you done? It's... And see, these are natural, carnal things can probably be repented of easier than spiritual problems. But they are nevertheless strongholds. You know, familial, generational pride, national pride. Oh, I'm an American. Oh, I'm African. I'm Hispanic. I'm Greek. I'm Roman. You know. No, I mean, come on. We're not claiming those kingdoms, are we? No, 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 no. I don't belong to any of those kingdoms. Oh, that used to mean a lot to me when I was young. Oh, yes, I'm this, I'm that heritage. Oh, come on. Get rid of it. Get rid of it, son. What good is it? You know what? It isn't going to mean a thing when you get into the heaven of heavens. You're not going to be identified in any such manner. And yet we fight wars over those things, don't we?
Amen.
And we get all stirred up about those things. Get our politics stirred up over those issues. Our thinking. You know what? Wicked is wicked.
Amen.
I can get along with any man that is righteous. I don't care what nationality, color, green, whatever. If he's righteous, he's righteous. If he's wicked, he's wicked. And I cannot endure wickedness. Those are strongholds. You know what? These strongholds are causing civil wars.
Yes, they are.
And I think I really, the word that I'm hearing is that these civil wars can erupt right here where we live over these same stronghold issues.
Envy.
Strongholds, envy over this one's got it and this, the haves and the have-nots. Strongholds over this one's this color and that one's that color. This one speaks this language, that one speaks another language. Come on. Not the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Not. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Strongholds, weapons of our warfare. Let me give you two more verses and then I'll quit. I guess I've gone long enough here. I haven't said all I want to say. James 4, since we're talking about it. I think I have more to say another time. Maybe we'll... But let's just take James here. James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts? That word lust is desires. That war in your members. You see, it's gotten the spiritual heaven in us has been polluted by the carnal flesh orientation. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not.
Amen.
You ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon... There's that lust again. Then he goes on, you adulterers and... Who? Adulterers? No, not us. And adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to be like the world? You want to live like the world? You want to look like the world? You want to dress like the world? You want to talk like the world? You're an enemy of God.
Amen.
I mean, that's just the way it says. One more verse in Peter, and I'll quit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Which war against the soul. Now, I've made my case that there is war in heaven. But I haven't talked yet about what's going to happen when he gets cast down to earth. It's going to happen. Satan is going to be cast down to earth. And you wonder why your troubles are getting worse. Because Michael is fighting him and driving him down. And he's coming down to the carnal level. His abilities of going about are slowly being curtailed. And he's getting very angry about it. We'll talk about more another time. God bless you.